The Gospel of Luke in chapter 13, we'll be reading the whole chapter as we've been going through Luke's Gospel. And here we'll see once again another miracle of his healing of a woman and many other things. Luke chapter 13, we'll read and start in verse 1. We'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 35. And you ought to know that these are the words of God. They are inerrant, infallible. And so give your full attention to them, for they are God's words and not man's. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days. There are 6 days in which work should be done. So come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. So he was saying, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air nested in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened." And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up to us,' then he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know where you are from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' And he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Just at that time some Pharisees approached, saying to him, "Go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform curses today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And those are the words of our God. What we learn here in Jesus in the first few verses teaches us and reminds us that our fate is no different than the evil, wicked men of this world if we do not repent. We will perish just like they will if we don't turn from our sin and turn to the Lord. And just because we might look a little better than those of the world and those that perish, it doesn't mean our fate is better or the end is better. If we have sinned and we know the wages of sin is death, well then now turn to the Lord. Because without turning to the Lord, you will receive the wages. Eternal death. And then we're given some indication through a parable of what repentance looks like, or what the fruit of repentance looks like. Those who have repented and turned to the Lord will bear fruit in keeping with the Scriptures. Verse 9, they will bear fruit next year if they're fertilized and they grow. But those who have not repented will bear no fruit, and they will be just like the beginning. They'll be just like the beginning of this passage. They'll be cut down, and they'll die forever. They will perish. And then we see that Jesus heals the woman on the Sabbath. And what he does in those verses there we see is in perfect accord with God's Word, with God's prophet Isaiah, as we have learned in Isaiah 58, showing physical mercy is required of us on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath. And that's what Jesus was doing here. And the kingdom of God, verse 18, you expect to arrive as this awesome and great thing at first. And speaking of the parable of the mustard seed. But it doesn't come that way. It comes as this little thing, but it increases greatly. And then you have to be patient, as we learn about the leaven. You have to be patient. It takes time for the gospel to do its work and for the kingdom to grow. And so even in the church, we ought to be patient with one another. And then the question comes, how many are going to be saved? How many will come into this kingdom? What will the kingdom grow to be? And Jesus doesn't answer the question. He answers his own question, which is typical of Jesus. That there will be many who say they know the Lord, but don't. They don't produce fruit. They'll be cast out. But many will come into his kingdom and they will recline at table with him forever. And you must, as we've been learning, you must come into Christ like Noah and his family came into the ark to be saved. And then it concludes with Jesus' rebuke of Jerusalem and the promise of his coming into Jerusalem for his death, when people will cry out, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed is Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our Prophet, and our King. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful of this, your Gospel. We're thankful for the Word we've heard. And the big theme that we see here in this chapter is turning to you from our sins. And turning to you by your Holy Spirit working in us, producing fruit. We need that fruit, Father. And so, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would do that great work by using the Word that is spoken to us, the Lord Jesus speaking to us. Use that Word to infiltrate our minds and our hearts and to change our lives, that we would live righteous lives in Christ Jesus. And Father, remind us again and again what the Lord's Day is for. Not only for the public worship of you and our coming and joining in worship together before your throne, but as we've seen, as we covered the fourth commandment, and as we see here, it is for showing mercy to people. Not only spiritual mercy and evangelism, but it is for physical mercy and healing and helping those who are in need. Which is why our standards talk about the necessity, not the exception, but the necessity of works of mercy. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us not only understand these things, but to put them into practice and to seek out ways to serve others on this, the Lord's Day. Father, we pray that you would grow your kingdom, that you would grow your church here on earth, and that there are many tares that are even among us today, perhaps, who seem to be tares and maybe are still in their sins. Father, we ask that you would call them to yourself. There's still time, but as we'll hear this evening, there's not that much time. There's very little time. For you say the end is near. The end of all things is near. And the letter of 1 Peter. And so, Father, we pray that the children here, any adults who have professed faith even, as it talked about here in this passage, who have claimed and said, Lord, Lord, Father, we pray that they would come to you. And they would turn from their sins and that you would produce fruit in them. Grant them a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray for those who are sick and who are hurting in their bodies. We pray especially for Lauren and Karen and Dina. Father, heal them. Father, we pray for John, who's with us, and his family this morning. We pray for their service in your kingdom, that you would continue to protect them from evil where they serve. And we ask that you would continue working through them, especially John, as he teaches and preaches and equips men to lead your church and that nation where he serves. And Father, we even pray for Austin this evening or this morning. You would continue equipping him and preparing him for the gospel ministry. We have seen his gifts that you have given him. And Father, we praise you for that. And we ask that you would continue growing him in those things. And prepare even now, be preparing a church for him to minister in when the time is right. Father, we pray for our church, that you would grow us, that you would sanctify us, that you would bless your people, and that the gospel would continue going forth, and that many would hear and believe unto salvation, even unto glorification. And Father, we pray for our government, our authorities that are over us, as you command us to pray for, that you would save them from their sins, you would cause them to rule according to your word, and that you would cause your people to flourish, and your kingdom to grow, not because of them, but because of your Son who is working by your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you would hear our prayers, and we know that you do because you say that you do. And we pray in faith that you would hear us and answer us according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.